people. The digital repression escalated in May 2021 when PYM began working with the Yemeni Liberation Movement on actions including a hunger strike opposing U.S. support for the Saudi-led blockade against the Yemeni people. The PYM member mentioned that after the collaboration with the Yemeni movement, their social media began to experience heavy shadow banning to the point that PYM organizers would have to manually instruct followers to seek out their group's posts, which were not visible to them otherwise. While one can only speculate about the precise reasons for such restrictions, Instagram itself has admitted to limiting the visibility of the content it deems inappropriate even when the posts in question don't run afoul of the platform's community guidelines. Laura L. Borno is a Palestinian-American lawyer and podcast host who uses social media to call attention to the Palestinian liberation struggle. She told the Electronic Intifada that her personal Instagram account swelled to more than 40,000 followers after the world's attention turned to the Zionist regime's planned expulsions of Palestinian families in Sheikh Jarrah and the Zionist regime's attacks on Gaza in May 2021. She said, "But with more followers came increased repression. Several of my posts would be deleted by Instagram for alleged hate speech or violence." She says that some of the deleted posts included images of Zionists calling for a second Nakba and a photo of her brother-in-law's apartment building in Gaza after it had been struck by an Israeli regime airstrike. "Surely Instagram's guidelines cannot possibly be intended to prevent victims of violence and hate speech from sharing their experiences," El Borno said. Adding, "Every time I appealed Instagram's censorship of my post, Instagram would restore my post saying it never should have been deleted in the first place." El Borno explained that her posts were also subjected to shadow banning and had received frequent threats of deletion from Instagram. Despite none of her posts violating the company's guidelines, she also began losing hundreds of followers. El Borno provided several examples of social media repression to a Human Rights Watch report on the issue. On March 8, Instagram deleted the account for El Borno's podcast, The Palestine Pod. The platform initially provided no reason for the deletion, she said. Instagram even initially refused to review the deletion of the account due to El Borno's inability to provide company documents like articles of incorporation or a utility bill, documents which Instagram said they required in order to restore the account. "These documents do not exist," El Borno explained, "as the Palestinian Pod is a self-produced podcast show." Only after launching a social media campaign through the host's own individual accounts, as well as outreach on their behalf by the civil rights group Palestine Legal, was the account restored. El Borno and her co-host, Michael Scherzer, were informed by an email from Instagram's corporate office that the account was flagged for suspicious behavior either by scrapping information from Instagram, using an app or service to interact with Instagram in unauthorized ways, or because the account was shared or compromised. But again, none of the reasons were applicable to the podcast Instagram account activities. And once it was restored, El Borno and Scherzer received dozens of messages from fans who said they had been involuntarily kicked off of the account's followers list.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Dear brothers and sisters, dear listeners from all around the world, Assalamu alaikum and welcome to another edition from a series of Q&A in Islamic Beliefs from IRIV English Radio. Like always, we have invited a scholar from Qom Seminary Schools, Sheikh Nur Muhammad, to the show to help us answer the questions that we pose in this series of shows. Usually, we are trying to answer doubts or misconceptions in Islamic beliefs, the doubts which have been asked by different questioners from around the world. The question of the day that we are going to talk about is the same topic that we have started talking about in our previous session, that is the justice of the companions of the Holy Prophet or the justice of the Sahaba of the Holy Prophet. It has been said that based on Quranic evidences, we cannot actually judge all the companions of the Holy Prophet as just. And some have been some just people and companions, but some cannot be included in their circle. Sheikh Nur Muhammad, our expert of this show, have talked about this issue in depth, that based on the Quranic verse of Muhammad and Rasulullah, وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ وَرُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. He said that based even on the appearance of this ayah, this verse of the Holy Quran, we cannot judge that all the companions of the Holy Prophet were known as just and or are known as just. Okay, dear Sheikh, once again, I'd like to welcome to the show and say salam to you.
Salam alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. So we wanted to actually shed some light on the other verses of the Holy Quran, which again strengthen the concept of the justice of Sahaba based on the viewpoints of some of Islamic denominations. The allegiance of the Shajara or the allegiance of tree or Bay'at al-Ridwan is another verse of the Holy Quran that some refer to on the justice of the Sahaba. And there are some other verses as well. I wanted you to actually give us a key answer on how to actually reach to this point or conclusion that if all the Sahaba can be known as just and all of them are benefited from justice or not, some of the Sahaba are going to be known as just based on this, let's say, verdict that we are going to reach to. So what is the overall judgment that we can make in this issue?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The point that I want to make it clear for my dear audience is that please go to the verse of Noble Quran and try to have some, you know, in-depth study about the different verses of Noble Quran, talking about the maybe the justice of some of the companions of Noble Prophet Muhammad. If we go to the verse of Noble Quran, we understand that these verse of Noble Quran does not indicate to the justice of all companions of Noble Prophet Muhammad. Rather, it's talking about the, let's say, maybe some of the companions of Noble Prophet Muhammad, that they were maybe just people, and referring to the group of companions, they enjoyed the companionship of Noble Prophet Muhammad, and in the same time, they were just people. But before that, let me give you an introduction. Maybe my dear audience, they were wondering if they, know that we have a supplication, number 4, in the Sahifa Sajjadiyya. It has been attributed to our fourth Imam, Imam al-Sajjad, alayhi salatu wasalam, talking about the as-salatu ala atba'ir rusul wa musaddiqihim. You know, supplication and praising and sending salutation to the companions of all prophets and those people who confirm the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this beautiful supplication, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam praising the companions of all prophets and of course those people who confirm the prophethood of the prophet. I want to say that in this beautiful supplication, Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam praising, companions of the prophets and confirmer. He said that Allahumma wa atba' al-rusul wa musaddiquhum min ahl al-ard bil-ghayb. And in the, rest of the supplication, in this supplication, Imam said that my praise and my salutation goes toward the companions of the prophets and then to those people who confirm the prophethood till the, last time, and in all time, those people who confirm these prophethood. Right. You see how beautifully Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam talking and praising these companionship. And again, I need to emphasize on this point, we do not want to disrespect the ideas of Ahlul Sunnah, because talking about the unity of Islamic Ummah, again, is our crucial point, and we need to obtain this unity between Ahlul Sunnah and between the, all Islamic Ummah. It is very important point. But sure. About talking about the لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ or other verses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْ, we need to go and to understand what does it mean, رَضَى اللَّهُ, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says I'm pleased with those people, what does it mean? We cannot compare the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a human being.
Very true.
It is granted. You see, لَيْثَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, nothing is similar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Very true.
So what does it mean when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that I'm pleased with those people, فَلَمَّا آسَفُونَا انْتَقَمْنَا مِنْهُمْ, when we get angry with those people, I punish those community. What does it mean? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like human being getting angry, or for example, pleased with some people. What is the meaning of that? If we go and have in-depth study of this verse, of course, we need to have the interpretation of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. They say that the Ridha Allah means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has different people, different awliya. Okay, friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When these awliya Allah, when these friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who enjoy the closeness toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they are pleased with somebody, okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala became pleased with their pleasure. True. And when they become wrathful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala become angry. Okay,
true.
So when Noble Prophet Muhammad, he, one of the awliya Allah, of course, there is no doubt about that. He is one of the greatest friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, guardians of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he become pleased with some of the companions, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala become pleased with that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is a real meaning of لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that because my noble Prophet Muhammad, he became pleased with those companions who pay allegiance with him, true, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consequently become pleased with those companions. Okay?
True.
So, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, those people who are faithful people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala became pleased with them. So, I want to say that until those people are faithful people and they did not lost their faith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala become pleased with them. But how about maybe after a while, they lose their faith.
Very true.
Or they go to the other category of the people. Let's say, for example, go to the hypocrite people. So what about that case?
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
So based on that explanation, we need to actually be very exact and accurate on the meaning of the words that we are using and we are reciting in the Holy Quran. And radiallah, in the sense that you have defined it, so on the believers, first, it is important to know that those who Allah is going to be pleased with them are believers. In case they are not believers, so this, let's say, pleasing has no meaning then. So let's change the, let's say, trend of this discussion and ask the Sheikh, what are the consequences of accepting or rejecting the justice of Sahaba or companions? What problem will it make if we accept that all of them are just?
You see that if you accept that that all companions of Noble Prophet Muhammad are just, maybe we need to justify, unfortunately, some of the crimes that some companions of Noble Prophet, they have done those crimes, okay?
Yeah.
We need to justify that. And of course, unfortunately, some people, they did that. They tried to justify all the crimes that some of the companions, they have done it.
They say that they ijtahadu wa akhtaw. The concept of ijtihad comes here.
Yeah.
They said they did ijtihad. You see, even some of ulama in our current time, they do ijtihad and in their ijtihad, they make a mistake.
Of course, we cannot do interpret the meaning of ijtihad. It means that the independent reasoning. You know, about the quotation that you have quoted from one of the prominent, so-called scholar by the name of Ibn Taymiyyah, he said that اجتهدوا فأخطأوا. He said that those people, he tried to justify all action that the companions of Noble Prophet, they have done.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it was in the process of اجتهاد, self, independent reasoning. And because of that, they, have done those actions. Okay, I want to say that this is not ijtihad. You cannot do this independent reasoning against the verses, clear, explicit verse of Noble Quran, which
Nas.
We call it ijtihad fi muqabil an-nas, which means to try to have your own reasoning against the explicit verses of Noble Quran.
Very
and
true.
Please, I need to explain for my dear audience that please go to the history. You find a lot of pages of history talking about this some few, companions of Noble Prophet Muhammad. Unfortunately, they did some crimes. Okay,
yeah.
For example, about the killing of some of the innocent people, and they have done it. Unfortunately, I need to say that it was only few number of the companions of Noble Prophet Muhammad. We cannot do justification for that, and we need to have the very rational understanding of the actions of the companions of Noah.
We need to see everyone in his own place, not more or not less than that. And in case we accept, one more consequences of that is, in case we accept this ijtihad, so ijtihad, as you said, in front of clear verses and, let's say, clear verdicts of Allah or divine verdicts, so we have to accept whoever stood in front of, let's say, caliphs of the dawn of the Islam, so his action can be looked as ijtihad. Like what, for example, some stood in front of Imam Ali alayhi salam while he was a formal and official caliph of the time. So he was, his word was known to be as, let's say, a proof for the people, but some stood in front of him. So how come? Who is right? Can we have both right fronts? No. So definitely one front should be right and the other front should be batil.
Again, Imam Ali, you know, to add to your comment, Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, he said that اعرف الحق تعرف أهله. You need to understand the truth, then you can understand the followers of that truth. Okay? So, what do you have to say about the وَمِنْ أَهْلِ الْمَدِينَةِ مَرَدُوا عَلَى النِّفَاقِ Some of the people living in Medina, they are hypocrites. What do you have to say about this verse? And many other verses talking about the some hypocrites in the time of the noble prophet Muhammad.
Thank you very much. Yes, Sheikh, in case even we pass from these verses of the whole Quran, we again come to the level of interpretation of the narrations, which talk about the levels of the Sahaba and companions that we do not want to enter in and to finalize our discussion here in this moment. Yes.
I need to explain and to add this point that this is not at all disrespect to our brothers and sisters of Ahlul Sunnah. We do not want to cause any, you know, disputes and, you know, problem and, you know, any disrespect to our Ahlul Sunnah brothers and sisters. Again, I need to have to say this point. We believe in the unity of the Islamic Ummah, but these are some, you know, merely a scholarly analysis of the some of the verses of Noble Quran, and we want to understand some verses of Noble Quran talking about the companions of Noble Prophet Muhammad, and we told that these verses, you know, if you go to the field of interpretation after tafsir of the verses of Noble Quran, you understand that these verses does not refer to the justice of all companions of Noble Prophet Muhammad. Rather, it's maybe referring to the justice of some of the companions of Noble Prophet Muhammad.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thank you very much, dear Sheikh, for your explanations and your scholarly elaboration on this topic. You respect listeners, I'd like to thank you again for staying tuned. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li Aliyin wa Husayn wa Hasan.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners. Let us contemplate the wise words spoken by Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. Do not disrespect your weak friends. God will surely disgrace him whoever disgraces a believer, and will not gather them in the same place on the day of resurrection, unless repentance is shown.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
News, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Cambodian fishermen aiming for small fish were shocked to see the surprise catch tied to their hook. This creature was nothing but an endangered giant freshwater stingray, which had swallowed the fishermen's catch. It was 4 meters long and weighed 180 kilos. The female leviathan is one of the rarest species of fish in Southeast Asia. Therefore, a team of international experts helped unhook the stingray to release it back to the waters unharmed.
All right, so we've just released our giant stingray back into the wild. She's kind of hanging out on the surface of the river here. It's amazing to be able to see her swimming around in her natural habitat and to have participated in the release of this giant stingray today.
The giant stingray was caught in the Mekong River, an important habitat for different species of fish, including huge catfish and barb. However, experts say the river's underwater ecosystem has been damaged by massive plastic wastes. Environmentalists constantly warn that building dams on the Mekong River is also destroying its large fish stock.
Scaling Mount Everest is only a dream for many and a once-in-a-lifetime achievement for most professional mountaineers. Well, not for this Nepali Sherpa, who has now repeated the feat for a record 26th time. 52-year-old Kami Rita led a group of other Sherpa climbers along the traditional Southeast Ridge route to the world's tallest peak. In the process, he beat his own previous record set last year. Rita first scaled Everest in 1994 and has been making the trip nearly every year since then. The Sherpa community is an ethnic group indigenous to the Himalayan region. They are expert mountain navigators who also carry heavy loads. Everest stands nearly 9,000 meters above sea level. The mountain has been climbed more than 10,000 times since it was first scaled in 1953. The bad news is more than 300 people have died trying. Stopping by and listening to street musicians usually changes our mood for the rest of the day. The experience would be different if one lies under the instrument while it's played, and that's what a pianist in America has done. Colin Huggins, a busker, wheels his grand piano more than half a mile from a mini storage to New York's Washington Square Park. He lets people lie down under the instrument and feel the vibrations from the keys in their bodies. Colin says he wants to help people recover emotionally from the intense disconnect they had faced during COVID-19 lockdowns.
I've always wanted to accommodate feelings in the best way possible, and I wanted to do it with music, and this is the best way I figure out how to do it. Maybe someday I'll figure out a way to do it even better, and I won't need to push this piano here. But as of now, this is the best I've got.
New York was one of the hardest hit cities by COVID-19 in the U.S. Like other places, the major city imposed lockdowns and tough curbs to contain the disease. Despite that, Colin continued playing on the streets, frequently to an audience of zero. He says he strongly believes that everything will be all right. Chinese scientists are establishing a meteorological monitoring station at an altitude of 8,800 meters on Mount Kumalangma, the world's highest peak on the China-Nepal border. The 13 members of the research team started the trek towards an 8,300-meter base camp on Mount Kulalangma from a 7,028-meter camp on Tuesday morning. They reached the camp in the afternoon and went on the last section of the arduous journey up on Wednesday morning. It replaces the one at an altitude of 8,430 meters set up by the British and U.S. scientists on the mountains in 2019. While some drivers are obsessed with the speed, some others have a passion for the look of their cars. In Tehran, car tuning lovers have assembled for the biggest show of modified vehicles. Yusuf Jalali has the story.
Fast and furious. It's the biggest show of personal cars turned SUVs. Held in Tehran's Island Karting Track, the event brought together more than 500 motorists to flaunt their modified cars.
This is the only place where car tuning lovers can vent their energy and show off their beautiful cars. When I saw the call for such a big assembly of modified vehicles, I didn't waste a moment and decided to bring my car here.
Exhausts sound deeper, with flames popping out. Sound systems rattle the car roofs. And regular doors are replaced by butterfly doors, opening upward. To these people, car tuning is more than a hobby, but a passion. Majid says he has spent double the price of this Peugeot 206 to turn it into a green beast.
For us, our cars mean everything. To me, it's love. I save whatever I earn to spend on my car. So I urge the police to respect this love and stop fining us when we roll with our cars on the streets.
Based on Iran's traffic regulations, drivers are not allowed to alter the original design of their cars. Installing loudspeakers and noisy exhaust systems, and even attaching stickers, are associated with fines. Omid says he can't take this. He has transformed his Iranian-made car, dubbed Rana, into a whole new model, saying it looks better now on the street.
I spent whatever I could afford to make the streets look better with our cars, but the police are treating us like we are wrongdoers. I myself oppose dangerous driving in the city. What I want is just to make my car look more attractive.
Car tuning encompasses any modification to a vehicle that would lead to a higher engine performance and dynamic handling of the car. As long as these people stick to these rules, police will not have issues. Otherwise, they must keep these beauties inside their parking lots.
Thank you. However eye-catching they are, these mutated cars are no longer road pets and are good for drifting on tracks like this. Organizers say that's exactly why they held this show, to provide a chance for car tuning maniacs to vent their energy in a safe place. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
The third long-duration team of astronauts launched by SpaceX to the International Space Station ISS for NASA safely departed the orbiting outpost to begin their descent back to Earth, capping a six-month science mission. Live video showing the capsule drifting away from the station as the two vehicles soared high over Australia was shown on a NASA webcast. Wearing helmeted white and black spacesuits, the four astronauts were seen strapped into the crew cabin shortly before the spacecraft separated from the station, orbiting some 400 kilometers above the Earth. NASA said one of the cosmonauts Oleg Artemyev assumed command of the ISS from Marshburn in a handover before Thursday's undocking.
And I relinquish control of the or command of the space station to you.
I accept command. I accept command. Thank you for here. Thank you for friendship. It was unbelievable time to get.
If all goes smoothly, the Crew Dragon craft dubbed Endurance will parachute into the sea off the coast of Florida on Friday. Their departure came about a week after they welcomed their replacement team aboard the station, also currently home to three Russian cosmonauts on a long-term mission. Iran's capital, Tehran, is hosting the country's most high-profile robotics event, dubbed RoboCop Iran Open. The event seeks to promote robotics and artificial intelligence by holding tournaments. Yusuf Shalali has the story.
They may not be able to face human soccer players just yet, but these robot footballers are taking their baby steps toward achieving this goal. The 16th edition of RoboCop Iran Open brought together 100 teams from across the country to compete in different fields of robotics and artificial intelligence, with a focus on soccer robots.
Our robot is a soccer player that moves with its wheels. It's totally different from humanoid robots, but it can certainly challenge them and beat them in a football match.
We have taken part in the Maze League of the RoboCop games. It's the first time I am involved in this big competition, where I have to implement all my programming, mechanics and electronics skills to win the game. I am so excited.
Organizers say RoboCop seeks to promote robotics and artificial intelligence by offering IT experts a real-time challenge to build the most capable robots.
The idea of RoboCop competitions is to increase the creativity of IT experts in developing efficient robots. Why soccer? Because first of all, it is a highly popular sport, and second, it is a highly strategic game that requires a robot to perform many difficult tasks, which, if accomplished, can turn them into strong and capable robots.
RoboCop Iran Open is part of the international initiative dubbed Robot Soccer World Cup, or shortly, RoboCop. The event was first launched in 1997 and was inspired by the victory of a computer chess player against the then world chess champion, Garry Kasparov. The official goal of the competition, as stated by its organizers, is to hone the capabilities of humanoid robot soccer players so that they will win a soccer game against the winner of the most recent FIFA World Cup in mid-21st century.
While robots still have a long way to go before they can challenge the likes of Messi and Ronaldo, the ultimate goal of RoboCop is not about robot footballers beating human rivals, but the technology advances that can be made along the way to improve our lives. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. This is today's special and the topic is giving gifts in Islam.
Every morning I wake up and see the splendor of Allah's beauty. The sky at dawn, the silent trees. Praise be to Him, supreme is He. Praise be to Him, supreme is He. As I set to start my day, I think of Allah and I pray. His blessings are with me always. Praise be to Him, most kind is He. Praise be to Him, most kind is He.
But first, we open the calendar. Today, Saturday, is the 12th of Shawwal, 1443, of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 24th of Ordibehesht, 1401, of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 14th of May, 2022, of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As usual, we start with the Holy Quran. For today, we choose chapter An-Naml, verse 34 to 35, to listen to and learn about it.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. قالت يا أيها الملأ أفتوني في أمري ما كنت قاطعة أمرا حتى تشهدون.
She said, O eminent ones, advise me in my affair. I would not decide a matter until you witness for me.
قَالُوا نَحْنُ أُولُو قُوَّةٍ وَأُولُو بَأْسٍ شَدِيدٍ وَالْأَمْرُ إِلَيْكِ فَانْظُرِي مَاذَا تَأْمُرِينَ
They said, We are men of strength and of great military might, but the command is yours, so see what you will command.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The tyrants and the kings knew that the divine prophets did not seek for money, yet they tried to attract them and make them quiet thereby. So the queen of Saba added, implying that before anything else they should test Solomon and those around him to see indeed what was their condition. Was Solomon a king or a prophet? Was he a destroyer or a reformer? Did they use to drag nations to meanness or to honor? So for this aim they might use of some presents.
It's the greatest gift from Allah to be in the last prophet Summa salatullah wa salamullah ala al-hadi rasulillah The greatest gift from Allah to be in the last prophet Summa salatullah wa salamullah ala al-hadi rasulillah What can be said of Mustafa? He was the wish of Musa Or the news of Isa, the prayer of Ibrahim What can be said of Mustafa? He was the wish of Musa Or the news of Isa, the prayer of Ibrahim It's the greatest gift from Allah To be in the last prophet Summa salatullah wa salamullah Ala al-hadi rasulillah
As I told you, the topic of this episode of today's special is giving gifts in Islam. Gift-giving is one of the good manners that maintains and strengthens relations between the giver and the recipients. It is one of the acts that Prophet Muhammad recommended Muslims to do. The Messenger of Allah used to accept gifts and reward people for giving them. The phrase, reward people for giving them, means giving the giver at a later time something of equal value, at least in return. This hadith or narration indicates that accepting gifts and giving something of equal value or more to the giver is the way of the Prophet. Peace be upon him and his pure progeny. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to talk about various aspects of offering presents and gifts to friends in Islam. Usually, we find that it's a common practice, not only in Muslim communities, but also almost everywhere in the world, that friends may give gifts to each other Or, for example, you may give a present or give a gift to a friend, or, for example, to an old classmate, to a colleague, to a friend, or even, for example, to some of your family members. Various kinds of some such gifts can be found. Now, for example, in certain nations, for example, in Thailand, flowers or, for example, some fruit may be given to people. Or, for example, in certain communities, I mean, that are really, I mean, well-to-do families, for example, someone may dedicate a home, I mean, an abode to a beloved person, for example, to one's own wife. Or in some African communities, some people may dedicate their beloved, for example, sons or daughters to the chiefs of their tribes. And now we find that, of course, it doesn't mean that all of them are acceptable. However, in many places, you find that some of these gifts are really good. For example, it's a good practice to give a gift, I mean, a valuable gift to a teacher or to a university professor, especially when, for example, a former student or a colleague may give such a gift, a valuable gift to a teacher. Or, for example, in some communities, we find that some on certain days, I mean, some gifts may be given to, I mean, all people in a community or a selected number of them. For example, in a school or in a university, some outstanding teachers may receive some books or dictionaries or other types of gifts in appreciation of their efforts over the years.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every bar.
Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
This is today's special and seeking the pleasure of Allah. How can you seek the pleasure of Allah when giving gifts to someone? By aligning your intention, gifts promote harmony and love between Muslims, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, is pleased when His slaves live in harmony. When giving gifts, if you make an intention to connect your hearts with the recipient, spread joy and warmth, strengthen your bonds, and earn pleasure of Allah, the barakah will follow. When you give gifts and don't want to receive something in return, it is considered as if you're giving sadaqah. When giving gifts, do it with the intention of performing a righteous deed, increasing the bond between you and the recipient, and seek the pleasure of Allah the Almighty.
The most valuable gift that everyone should learn to value today is that we should appreciate this life throughout our everyday. The most valuable gift that everyone should learn to value today is that we should appreciate this life throughout our everyday. The gift of life He granted us, how could we ever repay? Show gratitude to your Creator, and please do not delay.
Best Islamic gift, ideas for everyone. Quran pack, best idea for everyone. While talking about the best Islamic gifts idea, if we don't talk about the Quran pack, then it will be 100% wrong. Quran Pak is the most crucial source of authority for Muslims. Therefore, giving this book as a gift to your Muslim fellow should be very priority. It is also a source of rightfulness and a path to success for Muslims. Therefore, you should give Quran Pak as a gift to your friends and family members. This gift will be the best gift of their lives. Other Islamic books like that of Nahjul Balagha or Sahifa As-Sajjadiyya are also very recommended.
As it turns out, psychologists have done a lot of research on what kinds of gifts people appreciate the most. And what's interesting is that the kinds of gifts we think people will like as gift givers turn out not to necessarily be the kinds of things that people actually really truly appreciate the most as gift recipients. Let's start with a simple example, which is that you should probably ask someone what they want before you buy them a gift. I know, it's revolutionary, but let's look at the evidence. Research shows that people tend to appreciate gifts more when it's something that they explicitly asked for, compared to when it was something that the gift giver came up with him or herself. And here's one of those weird mismatches where gift givers usually assume that the recipients won't care one way or another. Oh, sure, you told me you want these things, but you really don't care what I get you. You'll be just as happy if I come up with my own horrible idea. So the advice here is pretty obvious. Ask people what they want and don't assume you can come up with something good all by yourself. And here's another pro tip that comes from research in psychology. If you're the gift recipient in this scenario, ask for one thing. Don't give someone a whole list of things that you might want. Because what happens, as the studies show, is that gift givers get your list and they go, oh, well, if they list all of these things, then it must mean that they don't care exactly what it is that they get, and I'm just as good at picking something for them as whatever is on their list. But when you put only one thing on your wish list, the gift giver gets the hint and realizes that this must be the thing you really want, and everybody's happy at the end.
Thank you very much for joining us. That was all for today's special. We leave you in Allah's protection. And of course, don't forget to follow us on parstoday.com/en. Today's special. By the way, we continue this interesting topic that was giving gifts in Islam.
Was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.